Welcome to World Cafe Words and Music from WXPN. I'm David Dye. My guest, Abigail Washburn, plays gorgeous old-timey banjo, but don't expect the standard Appalachian fare. Washburn imbues her sound with Asian influences, Chinese lyrics, and Eastern scales. In lesser hands, the music could come off as a gimmick or stunt, but Washburn and her Sparrow Quartet managed to make two very different traditions sound as though they were made for each other. Abigail Washburn and the Sparrow Quartet have just come out with a self-titled CD. The album is based on a U.S.-sponsored tour the musicians made of Tibet in 2006. The Sparrow Quartet includes famed banjo player Bela Fleck, cellist Ben Solee, and fiddle player Casey Dryson. I ask Abigail Washburn how the group evolved.
We first got together as a group when we went to China together, which was very much a shared adventure in 2005. And we went back again together in 2006 when we were offered to be the first American band to officially tour Tibet under the auspices of the United States government and the Chinese government as well. So there just felt like there was this sort of, from the very beginning, felt like there's this adventurous spirit to the group, and also a kind of a mission for cultural sharing, that there was a bigger thing guiding us. So I think that does, just when we sat down to make this album, even though it's for my record label and it's my next option on my record deal, it very much felt like a collaboration.
Well, we shall find out more about the travels and travails of the Sparrow Quartet, but what do you like to begin with?
We'd like to start with a song on our record that really truly is a Sparrow Quartet creation. Although I brought the lyrics and the melody, it was it really didn't come to fruition, to its full possibility, until this group sat down and really arranged and composed it. It's called A Fuller Wine.
Dark skies here, no one's near. Except I think I feel you. Sun comes around and no sound, except the ringing blue, all too loud. Everywhere I go, I look for you. Do you look for me where you go to?
That's a gorgeous piece of music called A Fuller Wine, which is sort of at the top of the new album that the Sparrow Quartet has done together. You know, it's funny, much is made about two banjos, but listening to the album and then hearing you all live, there's so much of the string section that really drives this. So
yeah.
Kudos to Casey Dreesen, who's playing the violin, and Ben Solee on cello here, and of course Bela Fleck and Abigail Washburn, the other parts of the quartet. Getting ready for this, I had such a cool time because looking at YouTube's and there's a number of things taken in China.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose it was an earlier tour, but there's a wonderful moment where you all are playing on a roof with a couple of musicians from Mongolia,
right? Yeah.
And I guess Bela, you point out a real similarity with something they're playing and an old timey tune. Does it kind of get boring touring everywhere else but China now?
I mean, no, it's kind of exciting. Up until this point, it's like we've been taking American music, or, you know, traditional American music and progressive, transformed, versions thereof to China. And we've been being the Americans, you know? So to come back home and get to share this music with folks here, it's just a totally different process, and it's very exciting to see how our own native brethren respond to this music that we've been touring in China all this time.
How was your tell us a little bit about your journey to Tibet?
Well, why don't I let somebody else answer some of this? Do you want to,
Casey?
Well, let's see. You know, we got to go around and see some really beautiful interesting cultural sites, and we also played a lot of different types of music there as well, from high school shows to college shows, universities, and to playing club shows. And at each one, we would collaborate with different local musicians, somebody that went to the school, students perhaps, or the first Tibetan rock band. You know, we collaborated with them at one of the club gigs that we did. So each place we had a new adventure of music to go through, learning some of their music and us teaching some of ours.
And a really fun part of it, too, was when we'd rip into these versions of Chinese folk songs that the audience knew, we'd have a gymnasium full of 3,000 or 4,000 kids singing along. It was a roaring sound. Like, I can't even explain to you what
it was.
The
first time it happened, it was unexpected, though. We had kind of prepared a couple of, you know, we thought we'll prepare a couple of traditional tunes to show that, you know, we've listened a little bit and, you know, we respect. And then we went into the tune, and all of a sudden the gymnasium erupted with singing, and we almost stopped playing because it was quite a surprise.
Yeah.
But it happened everywhere.
Yeah.
I thought it was amazing that they had us come. Really, I mean,
what were the circumstances?
All,
the circumstances. Unusual.
I mean, like, we didn't even know. Like, the week before, it seems to me that we were postponed a couple of days, and then we weren't sure till we actually left that we were actually going to get into Tibet, because it seemed an odd thing to put an American group there, and the situation there is obviously very complex. So we were, you know, looking at this situation, trying to understand from the, you know, we got to go there and see it from the inside, not only from you know, being traveling musicians, but having the Chinese government and the American government all with their representatives there with us everywhere we went. And we were very closely guarded. So it was fascinating on that end.
Yeah. I'm glad Casey, right when we started talking about Tibet, talked instead about the cultural exchange and the music and the experience there with the people that we were surrounded by, because a lot of the questions immediately when we start talking to folks about this cultural tour of Tibet, they say, you know, well, sometimes there's the question of why didn't you take advantage of that situation to really make a statement about what's going on there politically? And I thought we did. That's what I think. I think we went there in a spirit of peaceful engagement, and a kind of engagement that's about understanding each other on a level of art and culture and humanity and what's universal in all of us. Plus, I gotta say, like, our approach to music is pretty wildly different from theirs. So if they can't pull some insight about what's different about our culture and possibly even our political situation from the way there's these tremendous improvisational moments in our music, then I don't know what's going to do it.
Is that what you mean, the improvisational aspect of it?
Yeah.
Or just the freedom of creating your own music, your own kind of music. I remember hearing John Coltrane talk about how when he actually tried to speak out about things that were going on, it didn't go very well for him. But when he just played his music, that was the revolution. You know, so for what I saw is that these students were seeing four Americans making their own music, having a whole lot of fun, combining things freely, being artists, and I think it had a good impact on them.
And the idea of individualism as well. I mean,
right.
that was the thing that we were really bringing. You know, we are sort of a collective here playing music, and we are taking solos, and that's the thing that's spreading over there right now, is just the idea of individualism.
Was there any political interference from either side in what you played? Did they want to know what you were going
to
play?
Yeah, or? They did have to have set lists 6 months in advance.
Wow.
But we changed it up.
We had some new songs since then. We said, hey, we want to play these songs. Oh, no. You can't. You've got to play the songs that you told us you were going to play 6 months ago.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, they did. They did. But we did sort of put in a few songs here and there that were... There was nothing offensive about it. In fact, I gave them all the songs that we wanted to play, including gospels and, you know, very Christian-oriented songs. And none of them were a problem, actually.
Didn't they want to see lyrics on everything new?
There was lyrics and all that. Yeah.
Well, as we've come to expect on an Abigail Washburn album, there are a couple Chinese tunes on here. Could you do one of those?
Oh, yeah. This is a song from Western Sichuan Province. It's called Kangding Chingo, which is the love song of Kangding, which actually happens to be up on the Tibetan plateau, but just on the other side of the autonomous region, kind of where near where the earthquakes have recently hit. I've learned a lot of my traditional Chinese music from that area. We like to call this old-timey dance party.
Quartet are playing live for us today on the cafe, and that is a traditional tune from Sichuan province, sort of melded to, I believe, one of Bela's tunes. Now, when you would play, did you play that in China?
We did.
And did they recognize the folk song?
They sang along, yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
It was a little different groove than maybe they're used to, but they got the hang of it right away.
Yeah. Now, is there a Chinese equivalent to banjo? Are there instruments that have the same timbre, same...
Yeah, there definitely are. Most people feel like when they see the pipa in China, that feels like a really similar instrument. However, I think because I play the old-time banjo, that the instrument that really seems the most like the banjo is the sanxian, which is the three-string lute, basically. And it's made with snakeskin head, and it's fretless, and it has a wooden neck. And it sounds a whole lot like an old-timey fretless banjo.
I think the technique on the pipa is more like a bluegrass banjo player, where it's three fingers. They use all five. Where we just use a thumb, index, and middle to do bluegrass banjo rolls. They use all five fingers, and their fingers go in both directions, up and down. So the speed and the tremolos and so forth that they can get going while playing other lines is ridiculous and inspiring.
Wow. Actually, in that video I was talking about... there was an instrument which didn't seem too dissimilar from a cello.
That's called Ma Ti Chin, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, it's horse head fiddle.
Ma To Chin.
Abby knows it.
When I was in Mongolia, oh, go ahead.
No, it's made out of, it's got horsehair strings, and they play all horse rhythms on it.
Oh, okay. Well,
when I was in Mongolia with the Flecktones, they talked about how that instrument, the king of the country... was so in love with his horse that when it died, he had a cello made out of it. And those instruments traditionally were made with all parts, real parts of a horse. And that whole music, which is a lot of it, sounds like ding 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 ding, is just like the shuffle that we use in the United States, which is ding 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 ding, just a different emphasis. And it's really interesting how it's mountain music. You know, it sounds like mountain music anywhere.
Sparrow Quartet are playing live for us today, and what's next?
Great Big Wall in China. This is a song I have been writing for years, and got the notion that conceptually it would be really great to bring together other artists' take on the East into this song, other Western artists' take on the East into this song. So we went and listened to Puccini's opera Turandot, and it took... we were at least inspired by melodic lines in one aria called In Questa Regia, which is all about the Princess Turandot greeting suitors, but then giving them insurmountable tests to gain her love and her hand in marriage. And essentially the whole gist of that aria is, no man will ever own me. And I took that a step further, and because it was particularly a foreign suitor that was coming for her at that moment, I took it to mean that there's a sort of a bigger metaphor, that the human spirit is bigger than any nation state line that could ever be drawn. And that's what this song is about. You lay, you tea. you can tell a flower to bloom on the other side of the moon. But for you and me, it's hard to see her glory in the sun. Even if she climbs high into an ashen sky, a fading light far out of sight will signal her blooming day.
Great Big Wall in China, performed by my guests Abigail Washburn and the Sparrow Quartet. Their self-titled CD is on RCA. I'm David Dye. World Cafe Words and Music from WXPN is produced at WXPN in Philadelphia and XPN.org. If you'd like to hear more of my complete conversation with Abigail Washburn along with full performances, visit worldcafe.npr.org. And thanks for spending your time with the World Cafe.